You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey, real estate fan, I'm here to talk to you today about a subject that doesn't come up all that often in real estate investing, and that is addiction. Addiction nowadays isn't just a health crisis. It's showing up in the housing market as people who have substance abuse problems move into our rental units. In today's episode, I'm going to share a couple of tenant stories where addictions spiraled out of control and ended in eviction. And I'm then going to share some statistics about the actual state of substance abuse in Canada, which will make you realize that it's really not as rare as we think. And then finally, I'll be sharing some tips on what you can do as a landlord and an investor to spot and manage these challenges before they take over your investment properties.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fan, and thank you for joining me today for another episode of Real Escape and Investing. Today on the show, we're going to talk about something that doesn't come up all that much in investor conferences. And really, a lot of the time, we don't spend a whole bunch of time thinking about addictions and the role that it plays in the rental housing markets. But what I will tell you is when you start to experience this as a problem in your own investments, it's something that you wish you had educated yourself about before getting into that situation. And before we dive into the meat of the episode, I want to just remind you about the goal of the show. And so I say at the beginning of every episode that although some of the stuff that I talk about is a bit controversial and might have political consequences, my goal is not so much to criticize or to try to have particular political takeaways from what I'm saying, but rather to provide action steps for you as an investor to make smart decisions, to make informed decisions, and always with a view to take the types of actions that are going to help you out on your path as an investor, as opposed to being involved in some kind of political commentary. While some of the statistics that I look at, there is obviously place for that, and it invites certain kinds of interpretations. That's what I find interesting about the type of research that I do. But at the same time, the goal of the episode is always to frame things with respect to what you as an investor can do to grow your portfolio, become more profitable, and make the right decisions. Ultimately, why does talking about addictions and the effect of substance abuse on housing, why is that something important to do? Well, obviously, landlords with larger portfolios, without a doubt, will have experienced some of these issues already. So if you have a larger portfolio and you're listening to this, chances are you've already had some brushes with addiction issues. But if you're a smaller mom and pop type landlord, you might want to know what to expect because at some point you will eventually face these issues yourself if you continue to grow as an investor. And in the end, it's also just kind of statistical because once you play the game enough times, once you have enough rental units, you will eventually be exposed to the whole gamut of problems that we as investors can meet. Again, just tying that back to the whole purpose of the show, which is action, I do want to invite you to take some concrete action right now. And that is that we host monthly networking events with the Equity Builders Club every month in Montreal. The next one of ours is on October 21st at the University Club. And I do want to invite you to join me at the next event in person. I would love to shake your hand and meet you. If you want to grab a ticket, there are still some early bird tickets left. And as always, the early bird code, promo code for the show is early bird. And you can grab your ticket at equitybuildersclub.com/events. So that is equitybuildersclub.com/events. If the early bird tickets are taken up, you can use my personal promo code, which is ML5. That's the acronym of my book, Mindful Landlord. So that's Mindful Landlord. And it's ML5, the promo code for $5 off your ticket to a next event. So I really would love to see you next time that we're hosting real estate investors in person. It's a great way to connect with like-minded individuals, build your network, and also feel like the support of the community of other investors is helping to propel you forward. So now, Without further ado, let's jump into the meat of the show. I kind of wanted to start with an anecdote that I experienced, and this is the story of my most recent eviction, and it's also one that really affected me emotionally, perhaps more than some other ones do. This is the story of a young man who moved into one of my units when he was 17. This was before COVID, and he was so young that his mom ended up co-signing his lease. And over the period that he rented with me, I really watched this young man fall further and further into trouble. And so what happened is that during COVID, first he lost his job, and then he started falling behind on his rent. I then ended up taking him to the rental board because I think by the time he had 3 months of back rent, I decided that it was time to, you know, do something about that because you can't keep hosting someone for free in your unit. At that point, the judge asked me if I wanted to press for eviction or if I wanted to give the tenant a second chance and have him be condemned to pay on every first of the month. So because he was a kid and, you know, I have a little soft spot, like I knew his mom was a single mom and, you know, I have a bit of a soft spot for that. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this kid a second chance and I'm just going to be really clear with him that there are going to be consequences if he doesn't pay on the first of every month and if he doesn't communicate with me properly. Because that's one of the other things that I find really difficult to manage with tenants is that when they fall behind on their rent, if they're getting out in front of the problem and calling me and trying to find solutions, then I'm going to be more open to negotiate with them than if they just stop picking up the phone and bounce my calls, don't open the door when I come. That's really not the best way to handle that kind of situation. I gave the kid a second chance and for a little while, things kind of got better. But then I watched the situation escalate. So the first thing was that he began heavy weed smoking. And so the result of this immediately was strong odors in the common areas and other tenants complaining to me because they didn't really want to be living in a building that smelled like someone was smoking marijuana 24/7. And then the next thing that happened, and this is something that's kind of common when you have very heavy marijuana smokers who will also leave their stuff lying around the apartments, is that the weed resin attracts cockroaches. Very often what also happens is that because the standard of hygiene in those units is not always the best, heavy weed smoking tends to go along with food being left out and garbage on the balconies and stuff like that. And so basically this kid's activities in the unit ended up creating a cockroach problem, which then made its way throughout the whole building. And despite repeated exterminations, we were not really able to get rid of the roaches with the behavior of that kid, the way that he was living in the units. Along with this also went the fact that there was trash piling up on the balconies. Like at some point he had two sets of tires sitting on the back porch and bags of garbage, which then obviously the rodents get into and then strew it all over the front yard, all over the balcony. And then that means that I have to get my concierge to come and clean up, in addition, obviously, to exacerbating the roach problem. And then at one point, I had a plumber who went into the unit to go and fix something. So the first thing was that the kid wouldn't allow the plumber in. But then finally, after three tries, when we basically threatened him to have the maintenance done, because there was a pretty serious water leak and he like wasn't letting us in to do the maintenance, we then discovered all kinds of holes in doors and the wall and additional uncleanliness of the unit. And by that time, the tenant's health had declined and there were beginning to be signs of hard drug use. So, you know, if you work in the industry, one of the types of signs that you can spot is like weight loss, the tenant looking really pale and unhealthy. We also had complaints from neighbors, so loud music, fights, further lack of uncleanliness. And then what really put things over the edge was that then my young man started paying his rent late, or actually not paying his rent. And then by the time he was 2 months behind and the unit was really in a state of advanced deterioration, well, then I felt like I was left with no other choice than eviction. The lesson from this is that, you know, in my experience, I tell you one story, but I have experienced multiple stories like this over the course of my career managing over 1,000 units. When you have that volume of property under management, you do eventually begin to see this familiar pattern with people as they slide from perhaps heavy use of softer drugs into more severe substance abuse, and that this is actually a fairly common trajectory of what it looks like when people begin to abuse substances heavily. the lesson to take from this is that addiction really doesn't stay contained. It spreads into other issues with the building. And whether that's pest control, neighborhood complaints, rent, non-payment, damage to units, these issues are rarely isolated and they form a pattern that when you as a landlord are confronted with them, you really have no choice at a certain point to turn to eviction as a solution in order to staunch the bleeding and prevent this from really turning the building into some place that's unsafe and unsanitary for the other residents. Now, I do want to just share some statistics about substance abuse and addictions in Canada, because by doing that, you're going to realize that this is actually really not an isolated issue. I didn't know when I started doing the research for this show and for the chapter in my upcoming book, Squeezed, which is going to talk about some of these social issues that are overlapping with housing markets currently, 21% of Canadians will experience a substance abuse disorder in the course of their lifetime. That is 1 in 5 people. So chances are that in your friend group, in your entourage, there are people who are struggling with substance abuse, and that eventually, if you own 5+ rental units, you're going to end up having heavy substance abusers in some of your units, and that you're going to then have to confront this problem as an investor if you have not yet had to confront it in your personal life. The other interesting statistic is that annual prevalence, so the number of Canadians that in any given year are suffering from substance abuse, is 4.5%. So that will be 1 in 20. So 1 in 20 Canadians in any given year will be struggling with a substance abuse issue. And of the drugs or substances that are most typically abused, it should come as no surprise that the top of the list is alcohol. And nearly 1 in 5 Canadians struggle with alcohol abuse, with almost 15% of alcohol users becoming dependent in some way. Now, this doesn't mean that they're all going to become what we call alcoholics, but it does mean that the way in which alcohol is consumed is going to create problematic substance abuse. And anecdotally, I will tell you that in managing tenants, so many of the neighborhood disputes, so the disputes and conflicts between tenants that we end up having to manage, are related to alcohol consumption. And you don't need to have somebody who's an alcoholic in order to manage some of these issues. What it will be is just, you know, people partying, getting out of hand, and then becoming belligerent or impolite to neighbors, breaking stuff. If I could tell you the number of times I had either a broken toilet or a broken sink because someone was drunk and dropped a beer bottle or some other kind of bottle on the porcelain, which then splintered it. If I could tell you the number of times that happened, it's really something fairly common. So in terms of neighborhood disputes and property damage, alcohol abuse is really involved a whole lot in that. So I had a sneaking suspicion that cannabis use has been going up, especially through the period of legalization. But what I learned in this research is that actually the use rate has been just growing steadily. So in 1985, 5.5% of the population used cannabis. In 2017, that was up to almost 50%. And in 2021, so post-legalization, we're looking at a 22% of Canadians who use cannabis. If you put that into more of a substance abuse context, it's actually 6% of Canadians who use cannabis daily or almost daily. And 9% of cannabis users will go on to develop a dependency on the drug. The other drug that we hear about a lot in the media these days is opioids. And while it's difficult to have exact statistics on opioid use, whether they're prescription opioids that end up getting misused or street opioids, what we do know is that in 2024, 74% of opioid-related deaths in Canada involved fentanyl. And that's versus 42% in 2016. The other thing that I can offer you statistically in a more anecdotal framework is that of the evictions that I've had to carry out in my career, it's literally a 50-50 split between ones that are tied to substance abuse and ones that are tied to mental health. If you put those two issues together, substance abuse and mental health, you will cover 100% of the evictions that I have had to carry out in my career. They all track back to exactly the type of scenario that I described earlier, where as a person goes further and further down the substance abuse route, their use of the unit and their living habits become really incompatible with living collaboratively with some of the other tenants, and also with just maintaining and keeping up the standard of property maintenance and the way in which that they're living in units. It's just really not compatible with what you as an investor need from people in terms of how they have to take care of the units that they're occupying. The other thing to consider is that substance abuse and mental health are deeply intertwined issues. While we might know this on a sort of intellectual level, where it's a known fact that mental health issues, people who have trouble with mental health will end up self-medicating, it's also the case that substance abuse will tip people into mental health issues. There's a quite high percentage of people who use cannabis on a very regular basis, for example, who will then tip into having psychotic moments or anxiety disorders because of their cannabis use. And so it's really kind of relevant to understand that while we might talk about mental health and addictions as two separate issues, they actually in practice become quite intertwined because they feed each other. So someone who has struggles with mental health might be more vulnerable to becoming addicted to substances, and the heavy use of certain substances will be more likely to create mental health problems. And so it means that you really are getting yourself into quite a vulnerable group when you begin to consider how these populations are using and living in rental units. And so I don't mean for this analysis to sound a bit dispassionate and insensitive. I will tell you that in the course of my own personal experience, I've had the misfortune to experience the way in which cannabis consumption can feed into anxiety. Anecdotally, my first thing that tipped me into having anxiety problems, and you know, I quite often tell the story that as I was beginning out as an investor and a landlord, I suffered from a 3-month period with just very intense anxiety. And the story that I don't tell so often is how it is that that happened in the first place. What ended up happening was that I was in a phase of my life where I had people around me who were experimenting with cannabis and amphetamines. And I had what people call now a bad trip, which I didn't realize at the time. What I was doing was actually teaching my mind how to get into a panic state. And then this culminated in a 3-month period where the anxiety got so bad that I actually couldn't leave the house and couldn't function normally, couldn't really go to my job. So I do have some compassion for people who are going through this kind of situation, because luckily I had a safety net that allowed me to keep making rent and deal with some of that. But ultimately, not everyone. Like when I think of my 17-year-old tenant who ended up descending into hard drugs and then getting evicted, not everyone is so fortunate. The one thing that I do wish, and you know, I say that I don't try to let these episodes tip too much into political commentary, but the one thing that I do wish is that instead of just legalizing cannabis, for example, and thereby issuing a statement to society at large that these drugs are not dangerous, I do wish that there were some kind of a public information campaign that would sensitize people to the potential mental health negative side effects of using some of those drugs, especially when you're ingesting them, like, for example, not smoking, but you're eating marijuana or using it in some kind of a different way. I think that there should really be a lot more public commentary so that young people don't just, you know, randomly start consuming those drugs without understanding that there can be some super negative mental health impacts that result from them. But now let's come back to the issue of where substance abuse meets property management, because I'm going to assume that that's probably, as a real estate investor, why you tuned into this show in the first place. The fact is that addiction often attracts secondary issues. So things like roaches, pests, odors from weed smoking, or perhaps more chemical odors if people are using harder drugs. And then there's also the domestic dispute aspect, where levels of conflict, whether it's within the unit, which ends up being property damage and shouting at odd hours, or fights between residents of the building, so between neighbors, or then also unsafe activity. And I will tell you that in buildings where we've had heavy substance abusers, one of the things that starts happening is either dealers or other crackheads or prostitutes start coming into the building, or then perhaps the tenant themselves starts dealing. And then what ends up happening is that crime in and around the property goes up just because the type of people who are going to be frequenting your property is perhaps not what you as a resident would hope for in terms of the neighborhood and the type of environment that you're going to be living in. The other perverse secondary consequence that happens as a result of this is that if it's allowed to continue to get worse, you're actually going to start losing your good tenants because they don't want to live in an environment that has issues with pests or issues with safety or issues with undesirable characters hanging around the property, loitering around, looking if there's anything that they can steal. Unfortunately, as a landlord who ends up being the custodian of the living environment inside your units, you will probably end up having to intervene in these situations and find ways, find solutions, find things that you can do to nip this in the bud before it gets too out of control. Now, this is actually something that you can typically spot in the due diligence process. And for myself, when I'm doing those visits while I'm looking at acquiring a property, the signals of substance abuse are something that I'm hyper attuned to. So as we mentioned earlier, some of the red flags for landlords, this applies whether or not you're doing due diligence with a purchase or whether you're visiting your property after you haven't seen it for a while and you have a concern that one of your tenants might be slipping into a substance abuse issue. These are just general red flags and you will notice them. You can think of it as a bit of a checklist that you can use to help spot those problems without knowing on a day-to-day basis what the tenants are actually doing in the units. Some of those signs are strong odors like weed and chemicals, sort of more chemically smell that might be related to harder drug use. Obviously, for us roaches, we know that one out of two calls that we get for cockroaches is related to heavy weed smoking. The other ones will be related to unsanitary living conditions or else tenants buying appliances or food in stores that have a high percentage of cockroaches. So that is also a thing. But literally half the roach treatments that we get called out for have to do with heavy weed use because, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, roaches are attracted to weed resin. And if you have a persistent smell of weed and a persistent roach problem in a building or in a unit, you don't have to look too far. Just realize that this is probably related to the heavy weed use. Some of the other red flags can be the trash accumulation. So whether it's empty bottles, garbage on the balconies, and just a general level of uncleanliness, what happens as substance abuse declares itself and gets worse is that the persons who are occupying the units typically end up not cleaning as much. And there's a general level of the place being unkempt. So that's another thing. Then also frequently covered or blacked out windows and people having comings and goings at odd hours. So people who seem to be awake at night, asleep during the day, parties at weird hours, and then also strange comings and goings with sketchy visitors. And then that will eventually translate itself into complaints from the other tenants, because if you have good tenants who are living in those buildings, they don't necessarily want to be dealing with this kind of stuff. As we're trying to frame this in terms of action, what sort of action steps can you as a landlord take in the case where you're having a substance abuse issue in one of your properties? I'm not going to lie to you and pretend that the Quebec Rental Board is going to do a whole lot about a substance abuse issue if it is just that, even if it slides into neighborhood complaints and property damage or potential pest control issues. I have never seen a case like that result in an eviction or in some kind of sanction for the tenant. What ends up inevitably happening is that tenants with substance abuse issues end up falling behind on rent. And then when they do get evicted, it's the result of months of unpaid rent. So be aware that despite all those complaints, which I do suggest that you document the complaints, take photos, document the problematic communications, but that the real thing you need to focus on documenting in Quebec anyway are the late payments, because that's what's going to allow you to start the eviction process as opposed to all the other antisocial behaviors that might be going on. The other thing that I have found helps, at least in the short term, ends up being clear communication. So written expectations about rent and behavior can influence, I would say, 15, 20% of behavior and maybe rein in some of the really bad incidents. The other thing that I've also tended to do is to just educate some of the other tenants that really they should not hesitate to call the police every time something sketchy is going on, every time there's loud music or fighting. And that sometimes it can be that increased police presence that results in the problem tenants just deciding to pack up and leave on their own. Because if you're using substances heavily and having undesirables congregating around the building, the fact that the cops are always getting called is going to encourage you to move on. Then, you know, for your own personal sanity, it's really crucial to set boundaries and to not provide tons and tons of second chances. So this is really what happened with that tenant that I ended up evicting recently, is that he got his second chance and then didn't really respect it. And so the first time I was inclined to give a second chance because it was someone who was young and I could see that he was struggling through the COVID period. But that after that, for my own sanity and for the quality of life in the building, I felt like I had no choice but to react with an eviction. Because it's important to set your own boundaries and manage them and not to allow someone else's struggle with addiction really tip into being a problem for you and your other residents. So know that eviction may be necessary to protect others and also to protect your investment. It's never fun. It's never a great solution to jump to, but sometimes it's a necessary evil when things get way too out of hand. The last point on this list is perhaps to consider protecting yourself emotionally, because dealing in it with addiction in tenants takes a toll, whether it's putting yourself in the line of fire of some dysfunctional behaviors or having to act yourself as the policeman to ensure the smooth functioning of your investment and to ensure that your rent is getting paid. So maybe the place where I want to leave this is to say that through some of the statistics that I went through earlier, we can realize that addiction is not just a social and a health problem, although it is a widespread one. If we're thinking that 1 in 5 Canadians in their lifetime is going to suffer from addiction and substance abuse, that's huge. But the purpose of this episode has been to consider how addiction tips into a housing and a landlord problem, because with such a large prevalence of people suffering from substance abuse, it's just a matter of time as your portfolio grows that you're going to end up having to deal with some of these issues in your own units. And so ignoring it is not going to make it go away. And the extent to which you can build awareness and systems and mechanisms for setting boundaries around these issues, it's the extent to which the growth of your portfolio is not going to drive you nuts. Because like ultimately, that's what it's about. Like managing property is can be very patience trying and emotionally taxing. And the extent to which you understand some of the social issues that you're going to encounter and already prepare yourself mentally for how you're going to have to deal with them, it's just going to make that aspect of your life when you have to make those judgment calls and make those decisions about what to do, it's going to be so much easier if you understand the bigger context. And then if you have some of those mechanisms already mentally set up, even if you've not had to implement them before, it can really help you out just to know that other people are going through this. Maybe that's where I want to leave the show, is to say that by being part of a living, breathing community of other real estate investors, in addition to setting boundaries and having clear communication with your tenants, being surrounded by other investors who are going through similar things as you is going to allow you to learn from others. And then also just to receive that support when you're in a position to have to make some of those difficult decisions. And also just to know how to approach addiction and substance abuse problems when they do turn up in your rental units. So, real estate fan, I hope that you found this episode interesting. I do hope that you're going to take me up on my offer and come to our next networking event with EBC. So again, if you want to come and check out our next event, it's equitybuildersclub.com/events. Like I said, there may still be a few early bird tickets left. So that's a bigger discount. You can use the promo code early bird. And if those have run out, you can always use my personal promo code, which is ML5. ML is the acronym of my first book, Mindful Landlord. So the promo code to get $5 off your ticket is ML5. And I would love to see you out at our next event. And the other thing that you can do to help me out is to leave a 5-star review of the show wherever it is that you're listening to your podcasts. You can share this episode with anyone who you think might profit from it, might learn something. And you can also just make sure that your friends' phones, your husband's phones, your kids' phone is subscribed to the show. Just grab it, go to the podcast app and hit subscribe to this show. It helps encourage more people to listen and to get the word out to a larger audience, which helps us grow and helps me produce content like this every single week. So, real estate fan, I'm going to wish you a good week in investing, and I'll talk to you again 1 week from now.